This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world. And coming up this hour, we have the curator of Graceland, our dear friend Angie Marchese. Coming up on August 16th, 2021, will mark the, believe it or not, 44th anniversary of the passing of Elvis Presley. He was only 42 years old when he died in his home at Graceland back in 1977. He would have been 86 years old had he had lived till today. It's amazing. It doesn't seem that long. It seems like only yesterday. Of course, he has never left us. And it's a very interesting talk with the curator of Graceland. And then our last guest this hour is John Boyle, talking about the lack of blood plasma during this COVID pandemic. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi Today.
Working from home? I'm Chad Dodd, veterinarian and consultant to Limp Bells. Here are some tips for keeping your dog fit while staying at home. Find 15 minutes twice a day and walk your pet at a decent pace around your place. Play hide and seek by hiding some kibble or favorite toys and letting your dog find them. If you have stairs and your dog is mobile, walk up and down twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes. Or better yet, try a power walk on your terrace or backyard for some fresh air. There are more helpful pet care tips at youmove.com, spelled Y-U-Move.com.
It's a lot of lies, like a lot of lies, save a lot of lies.
That comes from a new song that was just launched by Save-A-Lot, your go-to neighborhood value grocer. The two-minute energy-boosting song creatively brings to life the hometown shopping experience of Save-A-Lot. It combines hip-hop, rap, and pop stylings into a video that literally has customers singing and dancing in a Save-A-Lot store and celebrating all of the savings that are possible.
Like a lot of lies, that means a lot of lies. Like dance on fat to the parking lot a lot. Like face and craves on the stuff you crave. And waves from the legs. Oh, hey, Jose. High fives. Good time.
The amazing video was produced by Drew Kirsch, the MTV VMA Video of the Year award-winning director for Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down. You can check out the full Like a Lot music video at SaveALot.com and on streaming platforms like YouTube, Apple Music, and Spotify.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
Well, since my baby left, will I find a new place to dwell? Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
We're back and we're live nationwide and all around the world. And by now, anybody that listens to my voice knows that I'm a huge Elvis fan and very closely connected to so many of the friends of Elvis Presley. And now we have somebody directly from Graceland who has graced the lands of Graceland for the past 23 years. Director of Archives. This is the probably only time that I wish this was a television show, because you will not believe what I have in my office right now, other than our guest, Angie Marchese. Hi, Angie. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing. It's nice to see a good Italian person. Actually, you're Italian by marriage, right?
I'm Italian by marriage. That's... I'm Irish by descent.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's right. Irish-Italian. That's a very good vintage.
Yes.
You can rob the bank and get drunk.
Yes, at the same time.
At the same time. Well, I don't like making any friends with my old pals. Director of Archives from Graceland. And let me just explain to you what this beautiful young lady has brought to our office. I tell you what, why don't you explain it to us?
I have artifacts from Graceland. We have several items here that are from our three new exhibits that we opened this year in honor of Elvis's passing. We're celebrating all year long. Celebrating sounds kind of harsh when you're talking about it, someone's passing, but it really is a celebration of his life and his music. The first exhibit we opened during his birthday this year. It's Elvis on Tour. It chronicles the Golden Globe winning documentary that was filmed in 1972. We were able to bring together 5 of the 7 jumpsuits, the jewelry, the stuff that he wore on and off the plane, even the key to the city of Roanoke, Virginia that he was given plane in 72. And the highlight of the exhibition was contacting Pierre Adige's family, the producer of the film, and them actually loaning us the Golden Globe that Pierre won for the documentary in 1972.
Wow, unbelievable. And what was really cool when she showed me all of these great artifacts she's brought in here, I was at one of the cities that he did the show, Buffalo, wearing a powder blue jumpsuit. But my wife, at the time it wasn't my wife, we went on New Year's Eve to see that movie, Elvis on Tour. I mean, it just brings back so many great memories. Now, you have so many other things with you,
yes,
including this gold belt that he received in 1969 for the attendance record at the time, International.
Yes, Elvis loved this belt. It's sterling silver overlaid in gold, has diamonds, rubies, and sapphires. He would wear it on and off stage, probably more famous for being the belt he was wearing when he went to the White House to meet President Nixon.
Yes.
But he wore it on stage with several jumpsuits, including several jumpsuits during the filming of Elvis on Tour.
Yeah.
In fact, he wore it with the White Pyramid suit when he performed in Jacksonville, Florida, just up the road.
You're right.
We actually, for the very first time, we've had the belt on and off display several times over the years, and this is the very first time we've actually displayed it on a jumpsuit as he would have worn it on stage.
And when he went into the White House in the Oval Office that day, and of course that's a story in itself, the president looked at him and said, "Boy, you're kind of a wild dresser," and I loved his response. you got your shirt to run and I got mine, which is a great quick response. Out of all of these things that we see when we go to Graceland, including the Hound Dog, which is, I think, a Gulfstream.
It's a Jetstar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Convair 80, which is the Lisa Marie. The Museum across the street, which has a couple of Stutz Blackhawks in it. And I'm happy to say that one of the cars I had in my home for about a year, the Lincoln with the suicide doors. And then you get a chance to go into the Jungle Room and, of course, Meditation Gardens. You have the unique distinction of being the person who takes care of the second floor, which has been seen by no one.
Basically, yes. It's part of my job to maintain and preserve the upstairs of the manor.
Now, what is that like? And what kind of security coverage do you have to clear and to say, "I'm not going to take the little pictures and sell it to the Inquirer"?
Oh, besides naming my firstborn child, giving them over to the Presleys. No, just kidding. No, it's very reverent up there. It's the way it was when Elvis passed away. We maintain it that way. That's the way that Lisa likes it. That's the way the family wants it to be maintained. So I only go up there when I need to go up there. But it is part of my job to keep it preserved for Lisa and her family.
Yeah. Now, there have been so many rumors of, over the years that Lisa would want to move back in there. That's not going to happen, is it?
No. Graceland opened up for tourists 5 years after Elvis passed away. In fact, we're celebrating our anniversary this year. About to greet our 18th millionth visitor. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's always her dad's house. Lisa comes back to visit, and when she does, she brings the kids, and sometimes they have dinner at the mansion. They go ride golf carts, go out and play with the horses. It's very much her dad's home, but it also is very important to her to share that with the public.
And the other thing, too, is that she stay there when...
No, she doesn't stay there.
Okay.
No. She'll come in after tours, and she'll leave early in the morning, or late at night, depending on what time. And, but she spends a lot of time there, but you would never know. If you were a guest and visiting Graceland, you would never know that she had been there.
You know, the first time I went there, because he was alive, and across the street was the Strip Plaza.
Right.
Of course, now across the street, there you've got
our visitor center.
Your visitor center, radio station, got over there. You got restaurants.
Yeah, we have Sirius Radio. In fact, we have one of our change in exhibit spaces where we have our new Icon exhibit, Icon, the Influence of Elvis Presley, which we opened in March. We partnered with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's the first time that we've ever done an exhibition kind of featuring other artists' items to tell their Elvis story, Elvis influenced them.
Sure.
And I brought today, which I showed you, Bruce Springsteen's leather jacket.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, Bruce is a huge Elvis fan. In fact, he's probably the most famous person ever to jump the gates of Graceland.
Right.
Got all the way to the front door before finding out that Elvis wasn't even home at the time.
I would have done something like that if I was around.
But he credits Elvis for making him want to be a rock star. And lots of musicians do. The exhibition, we have everybody involved from Bono to, there, we have a Dean Martin tux. Obviously, Dean Martin, a big influence on Elvis. Oh. Then they were great friends.
Yep.
We've got one of the Beatles' gray collarless jackets.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They had that on a 45 jacket one time, those gray mm-hmm. jackets. Yeah, yeah.
We have Ringo Starr's jacket on display. We've got Ricky Nelson's green LeMay jacket, which is homage to the gold LeMay suit. We've got Katy Perry's outfit she wore on American Idol when she sang Waking Up in Vegas. Very Elvis-inspired outfit. In fact, I brought the sunglasses with me.
Yes, you did.
And we've got a pair of white shoes that Justin Timberlake loaned us. Justin, another Memphian, obviously heavily influenced by the Memphis Sound and Elvis, bought these white shoes to wear at a red carpet event because Elvis wore really cool white shoes in the 50s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the exhibition itself covers all genres of music, young, old, African-American. We've got Wanda Jackson. We've got Wilson Pickett. We got James Brown, who actually would come to Graceland to visit Elvis. I mean, so it covers all aspects of music, and it's amazing to hear how Elvis had such an influence on all of these musicians, all these different types of music, and how he continues to still be a heavy influence on today's music and today's pop culture.
There's no question about it. And, of course, the great saying that John Lennon said was before Elvis, there was nothing.
Right.
Which, frankly, from the... Now, if you ask that to Little Richard, you're going to get another story altogether. As we
yeah.
Know, okay? Because there's always that competition situation there. The fact is that he not only influenced music, he influenced clothes styles, he influenced hairdos, he influenced mm-hmm. culture is what
yes.
he did. And that's the phenomenon. I mean, mm-hmm. and, you know, I can remember when he would come on the Ed Sullivan Show and I'd be out in the backyard playing in the swings, and my mother would holler out and she'd say, "Come on inside, Elvis Presley's on the air." And this was my mother, you
right.
know. And this goes back many, many years ago, but the fact is she was probably in her 40s at the time, and that was like, oh, my goodness, this is rock and roll music. And she was even enamored by it.
Well, no one looked like him. No one sounded like him. No one dressed like him. You know, even to have all of that, you know, the good looks, the sound, he was such a humble person.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody expected him to be that way. And it just kind of was the whole package.
Yeah. Boy, there's no doubt about it. Whenever you talk about the whole package, you can talk about a lot of people in the entertainment business. That's the whole package. But nobody like Elvis Presley. We're going to pause for a second. We're going to come right back. We're talking to the director of archives for Graceland. Fascinating lady. Angie Marchese is our guest. She's coming back with us. She has in our office right now Lisa Marie's fur coat. We've got the gold belt that Elvis got at the International in 1969, his sunglasses, and this weekend we are remembering Elvis. August 16th marks the 44th anniversary of the passing of the King of Rock and Roll. I'm sure everybody listening to my voice right now that was alive at that time remembers what they were doing at the time that they heard of Elvis's passing. Elvis Presley, who would be 86 years old, been gone longer than he lived. And we'll be right back with Ron Sedgy today.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
It's about time. For the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's the decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially. And so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We are back on a very exciting show, not only for our listeners, but most importantly for me, because I really like this subject. We're talking to the director of archives from Graceland. She's been there for 23 years at Elvis Presley Enterprises. Angie Marchese joins us, and her husband's from Buffalo.
Yes, my husband's from upstate New York.
Yeah, not too far where I grew up. And we're talking about the fact that in her presence right now, in our studio here, is a lot of Elvis memorabilia. His gold belt, we've got sunglasses, we've got his wallet. This is so cool, with his American Express card, and was it Bank of America?
It's Bank of America card, yes. America.
And, gosh, the award he got.
The Golden Globe for Elvis on tour.
I'm all excited. I got all this stuff. I've gone so far, I told you before we went on the air, I've gone so far, I have a music room in my home, okay? Because, as I told you, I'm a singer. But I even went as far as buying a Stutz Blackhawk, okay, because that was Elvis's favorite car.
Yes, it was. That's what's so funny is that Elvis, you know, was a Cadillac guy for the longest time. And, you know, he could have any car he wanted, but in 77, he was still driving a 73 Stutz.
I know. That's
quite amazing.
Yeah, that's the part that I thought was cool, you know, is that here you could go out and buy a brand new anything, including a brand new Stutz.
Right.
And he's driving a 73 Stutz.
73 Stutz. Yeah. Elvis was a creature of habit. When he liked something, he liked it.
Then that included food.
Yes, it includes everything.
I mean, he could eat meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Priscilla tells that story that there was a six-month gig where every night for dinner, Elvis wanted meatloaf.
Yeah.
And so everybody was eating meatloaf for 6 months straight every night.
He would get on these kicks, too, with, like, the black jumpsuits and not, like, the ones that he wore on stage. This goes back to the early 60s with the guys in the group.
Yeah, with the Entourage members. That's how they got the nickname the Memphis Mafia.
Yeah.
When they showed up in Seattle to film It Happened at the World's Fair, and they all showed up in these black jumpsuits with sunglasses carrying briefcases.
Yes, yes.
They looked like the Mafia had come to town.
Then they went to mohair suits, and the colonel said they looked too old.
Yes.
And that was the end of that deal.
Yes, it was.
When you listen to people, that journalist, my cohorts in this business, they always want to go for the dirt, okay? I have a philosophy. Not that anybody cares, but I'm going to tell it to you. My philosophy is that if you're a politician, if you're an elected official, I kind of own you 24 hours a day because you're representing what you're supposed to be representing when it comes to me and you, okay? But when you're an entertainer, you really only own them for the 2 hours you're on stage. I mean, they have a lot of influence on people, but, you know...
Right.
Elvis has taken an enormous amount of criticism, and it's a sad situation about how he lived his private life. But it was his private life.
It was. It was his private life. And I think the one thing with Elvis that people forget is he was human.
Right. They forget that.
They forget that, you know. And that's like I think that's probably why the wallet that we have with us.
Right.
Why everyone loves the wallet so much, because it is so personal.
Right.
everyone can connect to it. You open it up, and the first thing you see in there is a picture of Elvis and Lisa. Mm-hmm. Just like any other dad back in the 70s, even the 80s. Now, if you pull out your phone, you have a picture of your kid on your phone.
Right.
Elvis had a picture of his daughter in his wallet. The very first thing he saw when he opened up his wallet was a picture of Lisa.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, it shows you, it's like, oh, wow, he's just like everybody else. But people tend to forget that about Elvis.
Yeah, when you become a myth, when you become an icon, when you become someone that they don't think gets up and puts their one leg in a pant one at a time, then you are in a situation which I think a lot of people have commented that were close to him, say that if he knew what was going on today, he would be shocked because he knew he had, obviously, popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, he was also concerned about that waning a little bit. He was concerned. He thought 40 years old was over the hill.
But back then, you got to think, a lot of people thought 40 years old was over the hill. Yeah. Nowadays, the 40 is the new 30, and, you know, all that type of stuff, you know, because mindsets have changed and people's thoughts have changed. But he also was such a humble person to begin with. You know, if he had recorded That's All Right and it got played on the radio for one day, he would have been happy. He had no idea what that was going to lead to and what that was going to launch to. And when he got drafted into the military, he was worried coming back that people were going to forget about him. But he even said before he went to the Army, he goes, if that's it, then that's it. I'll do something else.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I know that he was upset when he heard the mix of Suspicious Minds because it was not, his voice wasn't as dominant. And I know that he was disgusted with some of the soundtracks that he was doing in the 60s with the movies, because here you got all these British guys coming over who admired him, and he's singing to a chicken, and that would tick him off. Old MacDonald, I think, was the song he was really upset about. But the fact is that he reinvented himself. I got to tell you a little story, and not about me, but this is how he attracted, I think, so many people. I was never a huge Elvis Presley fan. I mean, you never know that today, but I was never a huge Elvis Presley fan because, you know, I grew up in the 50s, but mostly the 60s. So I'm with the, you know, the Beatles and the Supremes and all these people. I was working for a radio station, and Suspicious Minds was a tremendous hit and a tremendous produced record. Felton Jarvis and
Moment.
Yeah, they were great. But anyway, the music director gave me the album Elvis on Stage, which was recorded at the International, and had none of his songs on it. It was Poke Salad Annie, it was Del Shannon's Runaway, Humperdinck's Release Me.
It had Hey Jude on it.
Hey Jude on it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I listened to that, and I said, holy man, this guy is good, because he was doing hits of other people better than they did them,
mm-hmm.
And it was the live versions.
You know?
And after that, you know, then I was smitten by the whole situation. It's amazing how he reached some. You go to a concert, you see somebody 8 years old, and you see somebody 89. My mother used to go to his concerts, you know?
It's amazing how he still reaches people years later.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, people are discovering Elvis in way different ways than my parents, than you discovered him, you know? But the key is that they're still discovering him.
Yeah.
And they're still seeing the fascination with this guy from Tupelo, Mississippi, and they're still able to connect to him years after he's passed away.
Yeah.
There's still that connection.
Yeah.
And it's about the music. It's the heart. It's the soul that he put into his songs, mm-hmm. in every song he sang, no matter who sang it first.
Right.
You know, Elvis never wrote songs, so Elvis wasn't the John Lennon songwriter.
Right.
You know, Elvis did do lots of covers, a lot of them better than the original artist did, but that's what it's all about. And people just kind of, they hear it. You know, they hear the soul in the music, and it's very authentic, and it's something that still, you know, brings people to Elvis these days.
Yeah. Boy, there's so much to touch on. Can you stay a little bit longer?
Sure, why
not? Angie Marchese is our guest, the director of archives for Graceland. She's here in our studio with Elvis stuff, the glasses, the belt, the wallet, Lisa Marie's little fur coat that she wore, her footprints from her birth certificate. Coming up August 16th marks the 44th anniversary of the passing of the king. Be right back with more, so stay with us.
Look and listen, baby. That's my philosophy. It's called rubbernecking, baby, but that's all right with me. Stop, look and listen, baby. That's my philosophy. It's called rubbernecking, baby, but that's all right with me.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden has approved sending additional military forces to Kabul to help safely remove U.S. personnel from Afghanistan. In a statement Saturday, the president announced he was sending an additional 1,000 troops to the area, joining the 4,000 already announced. Biden also defended his decision to pull all troops out of the country, saying that the Afghan forces had to fight against a wave of Taliban fighters currently sweeping through the country. And officials in Haiti say that hundreds are dead following a strong earthquake that struck the island on Saturday. The 7.2 magnitude quake was centered about 75 miles west of the capital of Port-au-Prince. Officials say that at least 227 people have died, with Prime Minister Ariel Henry saying he was working to rush aid to areas devastated by the quake, as some towns had almost completely been razed. He also declared a month-long state of emergency for the entire country. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Got another segment here with our special guest, Angie Marchese, and she is, of course, the Director of Archives at Graceland, Elvis Presley Enterprises. And this is a phenomenon that we were talking during the break that is so hard to even comprehend because obviously makes more money now than he did when he was alive. There was some issues with the estate shortly after he passed away because of the upkeep that it took. And nobody really, this is the thing that gets me, nobody really said, hey, let's open this thing up for a couple of years.
Now, actually, what happened was Elvis was so used to spending money.
Yes.
That he really never thought about saving it. I mean, buying people cars and jewelry and houses. And his logic was, if I need money, I'll go out on another tour.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to do. You know, I'll put on another album. And so that was kind of his philosophy. He's like, that's just the way that he was. And when he passed away, it was like the expenses were still there, but nobody was bringing in any money.
Any revenue.
And it was 5 years after he passed away that Priscilla had decided that, you know, we've got one of two decisions here. We can open the house up for tours, or we can sell it and sell the artifacts and then put that money away so Lisa will have something to inherit.
Mm-hmm.
And by, you know, a very smart move, she opened the mansion up for tours in June and still be open, you know. So they say that when they opened up that first summer, they didn't know if they were going to sell 10 tickets, 100 tickets, if they were going to sell out for a week or what they were going to do. They completely sold out the entire summer.
Wow.
And it just kind of kept going from there, 18 million visitors later.
And I'm not saying this for any bragging reasons, but I've been at the White House, in the West Wing, in the Oval Office on 3 or 4 different occasions. But I am more excited about my picture in front of Graceland than I am.
Well, it's kind of funny because Graceland's become one of those bucket list things.
Yeah, I know.
That everyone's got to go to Graceland, even if they're not an Elvis fan.
I know that.
It's become that American iconic pop culture thing to do. If you're within 6 hours of Memphis,
you've got to go to
Graceland.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had an attorney friend of mine who was a typical attorney, boring. And he went to Graceland, and he said, I had to touch the doorknobs. And I says, why would you touch it? He says, because I think Elvis may have touched that doorknob.
Exactly.
And I had to do the same thing. You know, Pat Boone made a comment one time that I think was kind of interesting. The world was never supposed to know an old Elvis.
Right.
Do you think if he was still with us today, would he be singing? What would he be doing?
Personally, yeah. I think he would have gone probably back to movies, gone to more serious roles. You know, I also think he probably would have got into producing more music. I don't see Elvis still performing.
No.
That's just me. I just don't think.
Yeah.
I think that back in 77, even at that point, I think he was to a point in his career where I don't think he wanted to perform anymore, and he was looking for what the next thing to do, what it was going to be. So I think that he probably would have gone on to mentor more people and kind of gone behind the scenes more, you know, and fulfilled a career that way.
Would he be able to do that with his love for the adulation that he got? Because I know that he always used to say, I don't want nobody to recognize me. Joan Rivers told me one time, she told Elvis, if you want nobody to recognize you, don't wear a jumpsuit and a cane and carry 8 guys around with you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he did have that, what we all have, that ham in him. Could he have gone behind the scenes, or do you think?
I think he could have, because I think he still would get the adulation that, because even, you know, it'd be like, you know, a legendary producer, it'd be like Martin Scorsese, who did the montage on Elvis on tour, walking in right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's behind the scenes all the time, but everywhere he goes, everyone recognizes him, and, you know, so I think it would still be the same. It still would be, if Elvis walked into a room, it's like, oh man, there's Elvis.
Yeah. It really was a shame that he didn't do the movie with Barbara Streisand.
Star Is Born.
But, you know, I have to be honest with you. I kind of side with what Colonel said about taking second seat. She would have been tough to work with, and I don't know if those two would have. That's kind of water and oil there, you know?
It could have been, but it also could have been a turning point.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Out of all the things that you see, Angie, did you ever see him in concert?
No, I was only 5 when he passed away.
To be honest with you, as a musician, even the build-up was good. I always told James Burton, I said, you know, sometimes if Elvis didn't show up, it would have been very disappointing, but you still would have got your money's worth with that band.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were sensational with the Sweet Inspirations and J.D. Sumner and Kathy Westmoreland. But out of all these things that you are lucky enough to be around every single day, what's your favorite? And we're talking about the planes, the cars, the jumpsuits, all the awards and the racquetball court, the house, the jungle room.
My favorite thing is the very first artifact, I guess you could say, that I discovered. It was in a shoebox in the bottom of Gladys's closet. We were cataloging things in her closet and opened up the shoebox. And in the shoebox, there was a whole bunch of pictures. And so we were going through all the pictures. Under the photographs, there was Elvis's graduation program in tassel from high school.
Wow.
And I think that that's probably my favorite thing because that's a mom.
Yeah.
That's what a mom would have in a box in her closet of her son. Now, this is, happens to be Elvis's, but it's so personal.
Yeah.
And I think that I connect more to that side of it. You know, it's just the person. It's making him a human.
Yeah.
You know, instead of this iconic star that he was, it's, you know, seeing the human side of him. And so that's my favorite thing that we have.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because there's been a special on PBS about Johnny Carson, mm-hmm. who had a real problem having any compliments given to him by his mother. Certainly not the case that Elvis had. There was a close relationship there, obviously. When she passed away in 1985 in her home in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
they went through her closet and found the same thing. They found a box of all these articles that were in newspapers, magazines about her, you know, famous son, Johnny mm-hmm. Carson, but she never let him know that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that in Gladys's case, that
it was a difference. It was a different story.
I mean,
she actually had a scrapbook that she
yeah.
kept of Elvis and stuff like that. But, you know, it's that personal side. That's yeah. the reason why the Elvis and Lisa exhibit, I think, is probably one of my favorite
yeah.
ones that we did this year because it shows that connection. Yeah. It shows Elvis the dad. I mean, we have the Elvis on Tour exhibit with is the concerts and then the influence in the Icon exhibit. So we have explored lots of different sides of Elvis this year with our new exhibits at Graceland. But it just, I think the personal side of it, because it's a side you don't hear about.
You don't know about it. You know, like you say, he was a regular guy. And when he did stuff that was regular, people look and say, oh, man, he did that.
Yeah.
But that's like regular.
Yeah. And that's like in the Lisa exhibit when Lisa talks on video about, you know, yeah, Elvis is the only one who could get me to take a bath.
Yeah.
You know, he would sing me lullabies, you know, or he put me on a horse and we'd go riding around the backyard and just typical things that a dad would do with his daughter. And that's just so very touching because
oh, yeah.
it is so personal.
Well, one of the times I was talking to Jimmy Velvet, I said, when was the last time you saw Elvis? He says he was putting gas in his motorcycle. And I said, he was putting gas in his motorcycle? But you can't picture that.
And that's probably one of my favorite things about Elvis, that he drove all his own cars.
Yes.
I love that because that's just, again, he didn't have to have it. He could have had a chauffeur.
Sure.
He could have had anything he wanted.
Sure.
He drove all his own cars. He probably would fly his plane if he wasn't scared of flying.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because when he died, the night that he died, of course, everybody was in shock. Everybody knows, like, the Kennedy assassination. It's an old line where you were when you heard of the passing of Elvis Presley. But that night on the Huntley-Brinkley Report on NBC,
mm-hmm.
David Brinkley.
Right.
Said Elvis Presley died. I went through the whole story. They showed clips of the Hawaii special. And then he says, Elvis Presley didn't smoke, didn't drive, and didn't drink. Well, I know that he was a bad drinker and didn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, but he also smoked cigars.
Yes,
and
he did.
Drove, like you said, every place.
Yeah.
This has been very exciting for me. And I hope for our listeners, too, because you have brought some great stories and some great memorabilia. An American icon, regardless of what kind of music you like, regardless of what kind of movies, you can't deny the popularity, the influence, and the ability to perpetuate a reputation for so many years. And you're a lucky lady to be working there.
I enjoy every day of it.
Oh, you got to be. You got to be the hero in your family, too, especially to your parents and stuff who
mm-hmm.
grew up with them. Now,
yes.
Know.
My daughter's already grooming herself to take my place.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's 12, and she's already going like, she's like, I'm going to be you. And I'm like, okay, come on.
Well, when I go there the next time, sneak me upstairs.
Can't do that. Sorry.
Did the president go up?
Nope.
President wouldn't go up either.
Huh? Nope. Oprah didn't go up.
Oprah didn't
nope.
go up? Mm-mm. All right. I'll let you go on now.
All right.
Okay,
thank
man.
You.
Angie Marchese has been our guest. She is the director of archives from Graceland. She's on a tour, and we are just ecstatic over the fact that she decided to stop here at our studios to chat about the King of Rock and Roll and show me some of the artifacts that I've seen from afar for many, many years and in pictures and bring them here to our studio. Thank you, dear. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very
now,
much.
Everyone come to Graceland. You can see everything, too.
We are going to be talking about Graceland a lot, and we will be there.
It's going to be hot, so.
Hey, you're from Florida. I've been here for years.
Yeah.
We know hot.
We know what hot is.
We know that.
Yes.
Thanks, Angie, for being here. August 16th marked the 44th anniversary of the passing of the King of Rock and Roll. When he died, he was 42. He would be 86 years old today. Quite a story about an American icon. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
I'm in love.
a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Across the USA and around the world, you're listening to Ron Segi Today. Well, it's not bad enough that we've had this COVID thing hanging over our head for almost 18 months, but there's other ancillary things that are also causing problems with it. And joining us right now is a gentleman who is not only an advocate, but also a patient. And what is very important is the lack of plasma. Joining us right now is John Boyle. Hi, John. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ron. Thanks so much for having me here.
John, first of all, you are, as I mentioned in the introduction, not only an advocate of plasma and the lack thereof because of the COVID, but also a patient. What is the difference between a lack of blood and a lack of plasma?
Sure. Well, and that's a great question. So most people think about donating blood, whole blood. So, you know, they just take it out of you. It's red. You know, it's got all the pieces in it. It's got plasma. It's got platelets. And it's got red blood cells. Plasma is kind of the largest volume part of blood. It's the kind of, you know, yellowish, watery part that's just chock full of protein. Blood is used in for things like surgery and kind of special needs like that. Plasma tends to be broken down, and those proteins tend to be kind of filtered out and then concentrated into medicine for people that basically need usually those proteins or that thing that maybe they're lacking or that they need more of.
Now, there is an issue with the fact that this COVID-19 has impacted the plasma donations. Is there a danger? Should people be concerned about receiving blood if indeed the person that is giving it may have had or has COVID?
Not if you're receiving plasma. I can't speak so much to whole blood donation, but actually there's a benefit, you know, to those of us who, you know, receive these plasma therapies. The COVID can't be transmitted, you know, into this plasma and these plasma derived therapies. But what happens is the antibodies, you know, when someone has had COVID, they create antibodies against it. And that's actually great for someone like me and for many others who can't necessarily produce those antibodies on their own. So in a lot of ways, it's a great thing, and as you may have heard earlier in the year, as people were talking a lot about convalescent plasma, sort of plasma that is rich in those anti-COVID antibodies, something that people wouldn't expect, but it's actually a good thing. As long as the person is not infectious right now and infecting the, you know, the people at the plasma donation center who are working with them.
You have a ailment that was discovered at a young age, only 6 months old, that is called XLA. And, John, I would try to pronounce this thing, but it's about 52 letters long. So if you excuse me, I'll leave that to you to do that. In that treatment of that situation, the plasma is actually a therapy to treat this infection.
You got it. When I was 6 months old, I became critically ill, and the doctors, as they were trying to figure out what was going on, I was going into the ICU and really in bad shape there, but they discovered that I didn't make antibodies naturally. I had a genetic condition that prevented me from you know, having the sort of robust immune system that everyone else does. But what happened was, you know, there was this therapy called immunoglobulin, which comes from plasma. Again, it's broken out where I can take donated antibodies from other people, and that temporarily supplements me with what it is that I don't produce. So once a week now, you know, if you will, fuel up the tank with gas, inject myself and infuse myself with this plasma medicine, just chock full of the antibodies that I can't create myself. So it allows me to lead a normal life and, frankly, to be with you here today.
Statistic I have in front of me is the fact that the plasma collection has diminished by 20%. How do you discover if you need a plasma treatment vis-a-vis just a blood transfusion or something else?
There are a lot of different conditions by which, you know, they say, hey, the best or the only good therapy is this, you know, plasma-based medicine. There's plenty of conditions out there where, hey, you can take antibiotics. There's some, you know, conditions by which the doctor is going to say, oh, you have, like me, an immune deficiency, or, oh, you have hemophilia, or someone who has just had a terrible burn who needs basically their blood volume expanded. There's a part of the plasma that can help to do that. And so doctors say, hey, the best course of action for you is this plasma-derived medicine, at which point, you know, like me, you may be on it for the rest of your life, you know, if you have a chronic condition. So your doctor will tell you, and then it becomes a matter of, well, is there enough of that out there? And again, right now, because of the lack of donations, it's getting pretty frightening for those of us whose lives rely on these medicines.
And where can you go to donate?
There are about 900 different centers around the country. Each of them is kind of a dedicated plasma collection center where that's really pretty much all they do. And you go in there, and much like donating blood, hey, you sign in, you do a little health screening, but then, unlike blood, you're there for a bit longer. You're there for an hour and a half, give or take. And you just sit in these very comfy-looking recliners, and you just play on your phone. Once an hour and a half or so is done, they send you on your way, you know, with cookies and refreshments, but also, you know, the knowledge that you have just helped to save lives, like mine and like 100,000 others or so around the U.S. alone.
People that donate, are they reluctant to go into a hospital? I mean, down here where we originate our show in Florida, there's a lot of concern, especially with an older demographic, that if they go in to a hospital, because a lot of these individuals think that even if they have some maintenance done, heart surgery, whatever the case may be, that they're making themselves vulnerable to this pandemic. Is it a pretty safe environment for that? Because it would have to be in order for this to work.
Oh, very much. It's very, very safe. And I understand those concerns. I myself have them. But what these centers are, they're not in hospitals, usually. Most of them are, frankly, in strip malls. You find a grocery store here and a CVS there, and then you've got one of these plasma donation centers. They are incredibly vigilant about making sure that the donors are protected and that the staff are protected, and that you're coming in there to donate is safe for everyone because it's so critical. And in fact, very early on in the pandemic, when a lot of places had to be closed by, you know, local mandates, the U.S. government declared that these plasma collection centers were essential infrastructure. And so they've been open almost the entire time. The problem is, of course, not everyone was going out and about, and hence, you know, our drop in donations.
Where can we go for more information, John?
DonatingPlasma.org is a great website that has a lot of information, and then more than anything, it has a map we'll provide you. If you put your zip code in, it'll tell you where, you know, where all of the plasma centers are that are near you. And if you don't find any that are, you know, right near you, what you can do is you can share that with others and encourage them, saying, hey, here's a great way of making a difference. I don't have one near me, but I want to ask you to go and to donate in my stead.
Very important. John, thanks for joining us. Our guest has been patient and health advocate John Boyle, discussing how COVID-19 has drastically impacted plasma donations and what the shortage means for patients who rely on plasma for life-saving plasma-derived illnesses. John, thank you for joining us. We look forward to your return. Good luck in your endeavor.
Thanks so much.
And we'll be back with more live nationwide and around the world with Ron Seggi today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
For co-host, yes, you heard me correctly, nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into Overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
That's a wrap with Ron Sedgy today. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours. And our guests include Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank and now Money Court, Kevin O'Leary, legendary rocker Smokey Robinson, astronaut Mike Massimino, Albert Lawrence, the curator of Graceland, our friend Angie Marchese. We are, of course, recognizing the passing of the king. August 16th of this week will mark 44 years since he's been gone. And also John Boyle. Well, we'll be looking for your company to come next week when we're going to do it again live on Across the USA and Around the World with Ron Sedgy today. Till then, I'm Ron Sedgy, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.